America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, welcome to the show this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in to the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour on another somber, not as sad, but still sad Sunday here in Central Florida. 407-774-8255 is still the number. I am Christopher Hart, all alone in the studio tonight. Well, not exactly. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge.
How you doing?
And a little bit later on in the show, the good folks from LIFA are going to join us. Kathy Santomassina is going to be in tonight, but Aubrey Kahn is not going to be here tonight. Of course, it's Father's Day. He spent some time with his family, and he's giving he's delivering the message tonight in church. And Carl Jackson is spending the evening, as he put it, painting the town red with his ladies. And I'm sure that means his wife and daughter, so... it's just us tonight, so once again, though, you can certainly join because we are live, and we are here until 8 o'clock, and then, of course, Armed American Radio with Mark Walters takes over and takes you till 11 o'clock. Once again, boy, I'm sure he's got a show. Well, I don't know. Do you think a guy does a show on guns and Second Amendment rights, do you think he would have anything to talk about tonight? Of course. And he does a great job with his show as well. And so please stick around for that also. Now, if you are listening now, it means you are a true blue listener because either you have spun the dial and gone up to 1520 WBZW and are listening to us there, or you listen on the live streaming web, either via our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, or AM660TheAnswer.com, or you've downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into that their smart mobile device of yours. In any case, we want to really thank you. As soon as we do go back up on the big stick, as they call it, we'll let you know. The game wrapped up about 4:35, 4:40-ish, so you can expect that time to be about an hour after that. And unfortunately, the Rays lost the game today, and so hopefully they'll get back on track starting tomorrow night. Okay, we got a lot still, however, to talk about tonight. Some breaking news, I'll call it, when concerning the investigation and the Justice Department of the terrorist attack, which occurred 1 week ago, a little over 1 week ago now. Here in Orlando, of course, downtown, and the streets down there are still closed off. The FBI investigation is going to go on for some time longer. We don't know what that some time is, but it is going to go on longer. They are thoroughly investigating this and leaving no stone unturned. By the way, there is a memorial service going on at Lake Eola Park downtown tonight. It officially kicks off at 7 p.m. I certainly hope some of you are on your way there now, listening on your smart mobile device, or 1520 WBZW. But at any rate, 7 p.m. vigil at Lake Eola Park. There'll be speakers. There'll be entertainment, that sort of thing. And, of course, it is to remember the victims, that the 49 victims, and it appears, at least hopefully, that death toll is not going to rise. I'm not trying to predict anything. I don't know anything. But after a week in the hospital, you would think the survivors are going to pull through. However, that doesn't mean that their quality of life is going to be anywhere near what it used to be. But they will still be alive, however. And that's, of course, that's everything. But the memorial kicks off, as I said, the vigil at 7 p.m. tonight, of course, right there at the Bandshell. And the mainstream media types, the national media, that is, are still in town, and once again, though, they are as much here to divert attention away from what the real issue is, and of course that's Islamic terrorism, than they are to do anything else. But they are here, so give them room. All right, so I want to start with a little politics. I want to really get into the meat of things when I've got the full stick up and running, so I can maximize the audience tonight without having to repeat myself. But there is a lot of hand wringing going on in the Republican Party, and it is being obviously encouraged by liberals in the media and the Democratic Party, because let me tell you something. The liberals in the media and the Democratic Party fear Donald Trump. They do not want to run in a general election against him, because there is that off chance he might win. And they are afraid that he has a better chance to win than your average run-of-the-mill Republican. I've talked about this on the show before. It was restated today by a liberal talking head on one of the morning shows. I can't even remember which one. But he said, you know, if we were running against, that's right. He was on, I believe he was on Fox, but it wasn't the Fox morning show with Chris Wallace. It was the Fox News Channel a little bit later on in the day. And, this guy was a Democratic operative, and he was saying, you know, it'd be a lot easier if, Cruz had won the nomination, because we got the playbook on the shelf. We just pulled down the same playbook we've used over and over again. And, we implemented according to Ted Cruz. But with Donald Trump, there is that element of chance, of doubt, you know, of you don't know what he's going to do next. He's unpredictable. He's unmanageable. He'll do just about any doggone thing. And he's not afraid of trying to compromise your position no matter what it is, that type thing. They are very leery and wary of him. They do not want to run against Donald Trump. Okay? Believe me. And every now and then you'll hear one of them say, like I was watching MSNBC this past week. I watched this just to see what they're doing, where they're at, what their storyline is. And of course, for weeks now, it's been Donald Trump doesn't have the temperament. This is the end for him. He'll never survive this. The judge thing. Oh boy, they had a hissy fit over the judge thing, and they still can't let that go. And then his remarks the other day about the president. Oh my. They were just all beside themselves. Ooh, they just couldn't stand it. They couldn't take it. And even the Republicans that they have on their show, they got one woman on there, Nicole something, I think is her name, and she was an operative. She was in the Bush administration, and all along she's been telling us about how her daddy loves Donald Trump and all this and that. And then the other day she was telling us, oh no, he's done. This is it. I'm pronouncing it today. He's finished. This is a disaster. And then, right, just about as they were going off the air, it must have been earlier than that, but it was on Friday's show. Mika, she says, and she's, of course, the morning jokes co-host there. She says, you know, there's just something that if he gets through this, I'm scared. Something makes me, I'm afraid. They're afraid of Trump, because they know Trump is going to kick them in the rump, along with a bunch of good-for-nothing politicians who sit around and do a lot of yapping, as the president calls it, and don't really do much of the action. And we need some action, and we need bold action. And that's what he represents, and that is the last thing that they want. And I'm going to tell you another reason why they fear him. They not only fear that he may win the election, but they've got an even bigger fear than that. Much bigger fear than that. And this is a fear that they share with their Republican cohorts across the aisle. And you want to know what that is? They fear that Donald Trump might actually make a pretty doggone decent president. in the sense that he cleans up a number of their messes. You think that they want that to happen? Do you think that these career politicians who have been selling us that they are the ones for the job and only they are the ones for the job want to see some outsider, some brash, loudmouth, you know, vulgar person come in and show them up? Of course they don't want that to happen. None of them do, the rascals, which, of course, is all more reason why we need to not just elect Donald Trump, but jam him down their doggone throats. All of them. And I'm talking about that Willow in the Wind, St. Pauli girl Ryan, and old Mitch the Poodle McConnell, as well as the rest of them. Trump's right. If they're not willing to fight, they need to sit down and shut up. This is for real. He understands that. They think this is just regular stuff. Now, this, you know, like St. Pauli girl says, well, you know, Donald Trump, he's not your regular kind of politician. Duh. That's why we stuck him where he is. And we're fixing to stick him right up your know what. So, wake up. And then you got the conscience clause movement out there now. Nah, it ain't got nothing to do with Santa Claus. This is a conscience clause. Yeah, and it's supposed to be a grassroots movement. And behind this grassroots movement, you know, they're throwing around the few names. And no, this has nothing to do with Mitt Romney. No, it doesn't have nothing to do with Billy the Kid Crystal. No, this is a grassroots movement. And one of the leaders of this grassroots movement is a woman by the name of Kendra Unruh. No, I've never seen that last name before either, and it's spelled Unruh, unless it was being misspelled in the media this morning. Kendra Unruh is a big-time Cruz gal. She's a Cruz delegate, and what she wants the Rules Committee to do just prior to the convention, and by the way, old Reince Priebus, when he appointed the chair and the co-chair of that there Rules Committee, he appointed a Cruz supporter to be the chair of the committee, and a Trump supporter from the Bush administration now to be the co-chair. Not exactly a, you know, full-throated, all-out, down, you know, the line endorsement, if you will, of Donald Trump. But the conscience clause is all about changing the rules so that the delegates don't have to vote as bound delegates. You think that's right? I think it's horse. Well, I can't say the rest of the word until we take a break, which we're getting ready to do right now, and then I might just say that word. All right, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. All right, that's a good father he is, too, amongst other things. And, of course, we want to wish all the fathers out there a happy Father's Day. And hope you have many, many more. And hope that having children was a very rewarding experience for you. Okay. Once again, I'm Christopher Hart, and 407-774-8255 is the number. Talking about this so-called conscience clause movement, and it is the latest of the dump Trump, never Trump, whatever, you know, little phrase or catchphrase or whatever you want to come up with. This is the latest iteration of it, variation of it. And this is supposed to be a grassroots movement amongst the delegates. Some of the delegates are mutinying, and they want to go in, and they want the Rules Committee, which meets just prior, the week prior to the convention, which is just coming up now in just a few weeks, in, here in July, right around the All-Star break, baseball. And what they want to do is they want to be released from their bindings. They want their chains, you know, taken away, released, you know, broken, whatever. And they want to be able to, on the very first ballot, vote whatever they want, whatever their conscience dictates. They want to have the freedom to do that. Even though, of course, the whole process has been based on bound delegates and, you know, the whole working to get the ones who weren't unbound by their states. And once again, the bound or unbound is a state rule. Now, these rules are encouraged by the federal rules. But, for instance, when it comes to the state of Florida, our delegates are bound, and they are bound for two ballots. That's very different than the state of Pennsylvania, where in the state of Pennsylvania, where you have a similar number of delegates. I mean, it's a lot. Let's just say that in terms of delegates. You're talking 6 or 7 dozen or more. And what you have is they're not all bound and for two votes. Some of them are bound. Some of them are unbound. And the bound ones are only bound, I believe, for one vote. So it varies by the state, and so what they want to do is to, in essence, have the Federal Rules Committee at a final moment dictate what all the states must do, even though up until that point, a great deal of that decision would have been left to the states, as I just explained. So this is not only a way to dump Trump, but to dump a whole lot of other people in the process. And, of course, the 13-plus million who have voted for him. And, by the way, that is a record. And the record was set for the aggregate total of all the Republicans. And they managed, to, believe it or not, to out-vote the Democrats by a couple of million. In other words, about a couple of million more voted for the Republicans throughout the whole process, the total of Republicans, than did the total of the Democrats. But as I said, they're all skittish and they're wringing their hands because they're believing what they're seeing on MSNBC, and they've seen a couple of polls that, show Donald Trump is in a downward slide and how's it ever going to stop? And, we got to do something about this here thing. So the suspense is sure to continue right up to, the convention, and evidently during the convention, at least during that week prior to. And if there are any significant rules changes, may change the whole outcome of the convention. And but I believe if they do that, they'll blow their chances for sure in the fall. What they need to do is grow a spine and understand that they should take, let's put it this way, they should take a lesson from the Democrats. Look what the Democrats have done over the last couple of weeks, right? You got Hillary Clinton nominated in their party, all right? She's under federal FBI investigation. And yet, does that evidently, on the surface of it at least, frighten them? No. Now, behind the scenes, they're scared you-know-whatless. But they're not showing it. They're playing their hand strong. They're scared, but they're not playing like they're scared because they understand their fear does not dictate the outcome. They can be frightened of an outcome and it not happen because they got out there and they fought rather than cowering in the corner going, "Ooh, she's under FBI investigation. Well, there's no way I could throw my conscience won't allow me to support her." Have you heard any of that nonsense? Have you heard any of that nonsense? No, of course not, except from the Republican side. Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone who's been listening on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer to the Rays post-game show, either because you like the Rays, and unfortunately they lost today. I'm sorry to say that, hear that. Or you've been listening to that in anticipation of this show coming on. In either case, thank you. And if you've never listened to the show before, please stick around and see if you like it. You just might. I am Christopher Hart. We are here. We are live. We are the American Adversaries. This is our Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. And now that we're back up on the big stick, just want everybody to know once again, you can call us between now and 8 o'clock at 407-774-8255. 855. Normally, Aubrey Kahn would be in the studio with me, but he's delivering the message at his church tonight. And Carl Jackson is, as he put it, painting the town red with his ladies tonight. And his ladies would, of course, be his wife and daughter, beautiful daughter. And we will be joined, however, here at 6 o'clock by the good folks from LIFA, Legal Immigrants for America, golifa.com. And Kathy Santo Messino will join us during that hour. And then a little bit later on, of course, at 7 o'clock, we'll have Sunny, that is Patricia Summerlin, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling, join us from California. And so we got a full show lined up. We are live. If you want to be a part of it, feel free to give us a call. Once again, I am Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. And we want to thank you again for being there tonight. In case you didn't hear earlier, and I'm sure you've probably heard on the other media sources during the news breaks, whatever, there is a vigil downtown tonight at Lake Eola Park at 7 p.m. at the band shell there. There will be speakers and things going on there. But of course, you can get on over there anytime you like between now and then. And that is at 7 p.m. this evening at Lake Eola Park. It has been a week since the terrorist act was perpetrated here on our country, in our city, against our civilization. And we should certainly continue to remember the victims, but we cannot lose sight. We can't take our eye off the ball. Pardon the analogy here, because there, you know, all this is trying to be turned into a debate over guns rights and other issues, which certainly deserve debate. But that's not the central issue here. The central issue here, which people seem to be losing focus of, is the threat, constant threat, growing threat, present threat, literally present threat of Islamic terrorism. Ms. Loretta Lynch was all over the news shows this morning, the talking head shows, making her presence felt, if you will. She will be here in Orlando Tuesday to get briefed personally. I'm sure she will go to the terrorist scene itself, where the act was perpetrated, and take a look around herself. She said something that was, and of course she was there this morning, and she'll be here this week to deliver the standard administration storyline. And that is that, no, we may not be able to stop terrorism by gun control methods, but certainly we could reduce the violence, the number of victims. That is always the assumption. There is no indication that that is in any way true. If I recall, the Boston Marathon bombers didn't use guns. Basically, it was their ineptitude that there weren't a lot more dead people. But nonetheless, they did create a lot of pain and suffering, didn't they? Shut down basically that whole city for a number of days. Not basically, they did. And we got South Orange Avenue down there shut down. But imagine if the whole city had been shut down, okay? Because if there had been two or three terrorists and one or two of them got away, can you imagine that scenario? Well, you better imagine it, and you folks in law enforcement out there, I hope, are imagining it, because it's coming. We all know it's coming. That's the next step. That's going to be one of the next phases. That's when we'll know that they have upped the ante, if you will, when it is no longer the quote-unquote lone wolves. By the way, it wasn't the lone wolves out there in San Bernardino, was it? Unless you want to say lone wolves in terms of plural in the one act of terrorism, because it was him and the wife, the good woman, so to speak, right? But what the good Attorney General Lo Lynch has told us today was that tomorrow the Justice Department is going to release transcripts of the three phone calls in which he engaged with the Orlando Police Department. And they are going to be partial transcripts. partial transcripts, and this is the troubling part. And she admitted that the parts that will be left out are most of the references to his allegiance to the Islamic State and anything having to do with the Islamic terrorist threat. Those will be left out. There will be partial transcripts. Why? We don't want to get anybody upset or anything. You see, they are treating us like children. Like, oh, we can't tell them the whole truth. If we tell them the whole truth, they might do something that, oh, then we'll have to punish them or do something to stop them. Oh, we're adults, Ms. Lynch. We can take the truth. We know the truth. We speak the truth. We will shout the truth. You can go ahead and release your partial transcripts. We will call attention to the deletions. And we will say, you call this transparency? Uh-huh. We call this. You know what we call this? We call this bull. Well, I think I'll say that word when we take the break.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour is 1 hour in, 2 hours to go. And we're here, we're live for you every Sunday night from 5 to 8 p.m. on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. And you can give us a call at 407-774-8255. That is the number. In the studio with me now is Steve Gushov of Legal Immigrants for America. He is the director. He's the big dog, as it were.
Well, I think Jim and Paul are actually the big dog. I report to them.
All right.
I'm the littler dog.
All right, you're the not so big dog. All right, but nonetheless, he is the acting director, and he is the director, not acting director, the director. And he also writes great articles that you can find on their website. That's golifa.com, golifa.com. I am Christopher Hart. We got Jeff Sinis on the bridge. And you know, there was something else that was on the board here when Dave made his call that he never actually got around to because he was so wound up about so much.
He's a great caller.
But it was, yeah. And he was able to embellish it by not going too far yet. And I appreciated that with the language. But it is Sunday night after all, right? But you know, you were going to make a point, and then I want to address something that I thought he was going to say, and he didn't, but go ahead.
Well, in other words, Dave was spot on in terms of his reaction to this. You know, I quoted the Bible before about the truth shall set you free. Here's another Bible verse, Ecclesiastes 3:8. There's a time for war and a time for peace. This is a time for war. And the fear I have, Chris, is that this nation does not have the stomach for this war.
That's what Dave was saying.
That's what he was going to say. And that is my fear, exactly,
yeah.
Is like, we have to man it. We got to get tough because these people are out to slaughter us. They're not here to sing kumbaya with us. They're out here to kill us. And you just look at what they're doing throughout the Middle East. They're slaughtering Christians. They're slaughtering Jews. They're slaughtering gays. That's why I said before we went to the break, this is not surprising at all what happened in Orlando. It is utterly tragic, but it's not surprising. If they're slaughtering gays all over the Middle East, why do we think that they would make some sort of exception here in the United States? It's going to happen again. And you know what's really interesting is now, you know, if you're a liberal, you've got a big problem. Because you have these two groups that you like to coddle, gays, the LGBT community, and Muslims. Now you have a Muslim that has slaughtered 50 gays. And I've seen all sorts of articles online, and I've seen interviews on TV where lots of gays who normally, traditionally, would be very liberal in their politics and normally would be Hillary supporters, now, after this horrible tragedy in Orlando, guess who they're supporting for president now?
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Well, not only that, but there was a, is it called the Log Cabin?
Yes, Log Cabin Republicans.
Tell folks who they are.
Log Cabin Republicans are gay Republicans.
Okay.
They're Republicans who are gay.
They had the director of that today who said that Donald Trump is the most gay-friendly Republican nominee there has ever been, and probably the most gay-friendly candidate in this election, including Hillary.
Look, if you were in that discotheque last Saturday night, do you want someone as president who will protect your Second Amendment rights, or do you want someone else like Hillary who's going to bring in hundreds of thousands of more Muslims, at least one of whom, if not thousands of whom, are going to try to kill you? I just saw online today, I read another article where, you know, the Republicans' hands are dirty in this as well. Paul, this terrible federal budget that Paul Ryan just allowed, that brought in 300,000 Muslims into this country.
Yep.
Okay? So his hands are just as dirty as Obama's.
Yep, yep.
In this.
By the way, I had to grin for a second when you said discotheque. Are there any discotheques still around?
I may have given away my age. Nightclub, excuse me.
I don't think they were playing KC and the Sunshine.
I don't think it was 70s night. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to make light of it, but nonetheless. And this is something that Dave was expressing as well, and because something that had been put on the board that he said he was going to talk about was that, as it was put up there, the endless vigils, because there is a vigil going on
tonight
at 7 o'clock at Lake Eola, and I encourage people, if you feel like you need to, go down there. And basically, there are so many vigils because here's what I believe is happening in terms of psychology, if you will. When things like this happen, people want to do something. They want to do something about it. And yet they have this overwhelming feeling of helplessness because there's not much at all you can do about it. And so that feeling has to be channeled. And you get these calls to action. Have you ever heard that phrase, call to action?
Far too many times.
All right, we hear that in politics a lot. You know, when you got a message, you got to have a call to action. Well, the call to action here is healing. Let's have vigils.
Healing and love.
Yeah,
love
let's have
wins.
Vigils. Let's have healing. Like he was talking about another radio station has been just over the top with the, oh, America's, I mean, Orlando's great, and Orlando, we're healing, and we love one another in Orlando. Call and tell us your wonderful story about how you went to 7-Eleven, and some guy said something to you, and Orlando's strong. That is a weak call to action. I'm sorry. And that's what Dave, I think, with the frustration he's feeling. And like you were saying, you're wondering if we have what it's going to take to do. When you have that as a call to action,
I don't know if we do.
When you have that as a call to action, you're going in the wrong direction.
Well, see, here's,
now, it's understandable to have memorial services and vigil, but when you make that the focus of the action to be taken, that, and then couple that with the political goal of disarming American citizens, that's pretty sad stuff there.
Look, Chris, let's go back to 1941 again, December 8th, 1941, the day after Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
Boy, I've read a lot of history about that day and that time, and I don't remember a whole lot of vigils on December 8th, 41. I don't remember a whole lot of healing and saying, oh, well, let's show love for the Japanese. Oh, well, let's show love for the Germans, for the Nazis. They're just a bunch of misunderstood Germans. No, men went and signed up to go to war to kick some butt is what they did.
To win
a war that we had to win for the survival of this planet. There wasn't much in the way of vigils, healing, love, unity, Orlando strong, Pearl Harbor strong, whatever. Even this whole Orlando strong thing, that kind of bugs me. I'm going to tell you why. I'd much rather see signs that say Orlando humble or Orlando repentant or Orlando broken and surrendered and fully dependent on God to try to save this city.
Well,
I like when people say pray for Orlando. I like that. But Orlando strong, yeah. Is this a time for strength? This is not a time for man's strength. This is a time for God's strength and for us to fight an enemy that's trying to kill us.
Well, unfortunately, as I've seen in a number of editorials in the Orlando Sentinel and heard from other sources, the healing and the Orlando Strong is not necessarily meant to include Christians.
Correct.
So there's been a lot of, we don't want your prayers, we don't want your crocodile tears and that sort of thing. You saw it was exemplified by Anderson Cooper's little takedown, if you will. I call it an ambush or bushwhacking of Pam Bondi. Oh, how you were against gay marriage, therefore how dare you, you know, say you have pity for these are human beings. We care about human beings. Christians care about human beings. See, all this does is demonstrate that these so-called liberals who think that they know all about Christians have a total lack of understanding of Christians.
But they're trying to... They're
Christians,
trying,
let me finish.
Go ahead.
Christians are motivated out of love and forgiveness. Those are the underlying principles of Christianity. Whereas if you take Islam, the underlying principle is defeat the infidel. That's what it's all about. It's not about love and forgiveness. That's not taught in the Quran. If you want to find that, it's going to be a fruitless search. It is not there. What is there is this is how you defeat the infidel. And this is why you do it, because it will please Allah. All you need to know.
And here's the other difference too, Chris, is for the Christian, the love and the forgiveness that you talk about is for the person, but not the lifestyle. Because I know a lot of Christians right now that will not wear anything rainbow-colored. You see all this rainbow-colored stuff now. They will not wear anything rainbow-colored, a ribbon or a shirt or whatever. They will wear a black ribbon because they're mourning the death, the horrible, tragic deaths of 50 people. They are not in agreement with their lifestyle. Their lifestyle is an anti-biblical lifestyle, but there's a lot of heterosexuals that are living anti-biblical lifestyles. But you're mourning the person. And again, this is an attempt by the left to try to force Christians out of what their faith tells them.
Right. And this is what I've been trying to say all week, in essence, is it doesn't matter what they were doing, why they were there. What matters is what was done to them. And that is what we've been losing sight of. Okay? When you focus on the guns, when you focus on the gay issue, if you focus on any damn thing other than Islamic terrorism, you have taken your eye off the ball.
Delusion equals death. Right. That's the title of my article, Delusion Equals Death, at golife.com.
Golife.com.
Because this is not surprising. They're doing this all over the Middle East. Why do we think it's going to be different here?
No. They're not coming here to be Americans. They're coming here to make Americans Muslims.
Exactly.
And there's no doubt about it. And as Trump has intimated, either this president is willingly participating in that conversion process because he thinks that diversity or whatever is good will give him the benefit of the doubt, or he is ignorantly doing it. In either case, he does not understand that the more Muslims are brought to this country, the more this country will be brought to Islam.
But there's no time.
It's not going to work the other way around.
There's no time for benefit of the doubt anymore. 50 Americans are dead last Sunday, okay? More than 100 Americans have been killed by Muslims in terrorist attacks since 9/11. Add that to the 3,000 on 9/11. And so it's like there's no time for a president anymore who seems more involved in defending Islam than he is defending American lives. That's the bottom line.
All right. As I also said during the first hour, I think before you joined me, Steve, I said one of the things that the terrorists are doing is actually quite clever. Not only is the terrorist act meant to create the fear and the death and the suffering, but it's also meant to create political turmoil.
Absolutely.
And it has worked quite effectively this week. And to know, the president has walked right into their trap when he makes it more about gun control than about terrorist control. All right. So the political turmoil is resulting from the president trying to make this more about him getting gun control than about defeating terrorism. And that is the source of the political turmoil. And then you got Donald Trump comes along and he says, look, this is all about terrorism. And that really upsets the apple cart. Okay, when we come back, Steve's going to still be with us, and we'll be talking more about this and plus what other things the LIFA is up to. And once again, please join up with LIFA. That's golifa.com. Real easy. Just go there, and you can sign up. It is a nonprofit, so please help them out, too. We'll tell you more about how when we come back. And we wouldn't mind not one least little bit. Welcome back to the show, folks. Once again, I'm Christopher Hart, and with Steve Gushov of Legal Immigrants for America. Before we go on with the conversation, Steve, I'd like you to tell folks once again about how they can join up with LIFA, how they can help LIFA out, and then tell us about a little bit about what you're going to be doing here soon.
Absolutely. The first thing people can do is go to our website. The Legal Immigrants for America website is located at www.golifa.com. That's golifa.com. And for people that don't know, Legal Immigrants for America is a nonprofit organization. We educate Americans and lobby politicians and candidates about immigration issues. And so when you want to know what we stand for, we are staunchly in favor of being pro-legal immigration. We want to promote legal immigration. We want to promote the enforcement of existing immigration laws. There are great laws on the books. We just have a president that won't enforce them. We oppose amnesty. We want to defund sanctuary cities and sanctuary counties. We are opposed to any sort of immigration from Muslim countries. We want to terminate the Syrian refugee program because we know that terrorists are hidden out there just as they were in Paris and Brussels. We want to halt to H-1B visa abuse. You know, the Disney case. Where Disney laid off almost 300 American-born IT workers, replaced them with Indian-born IT workers. And so that's just, in a nutshell, some of the things that we stand for. We want to build a wall. We want to strengthen our borders. And because we see how illegal immigration is killing this nation, immigration is the number one issue in this presidential campaign because immigration is related to national security, to jobs, to the economy. Minority youth are getting crushed because so many jobs that American minority youth would get are going to illegal immigrants. And that's part of the reason why the unemployment rate for African American youth is at 50% right now, because of illegal immigration. We're a 501c3. We're a nonprofit, so we rely on funding and gifts from people. So if anyone wants to support us with a financial gift, again, they could go to golifa.com. They can press on the donate button on the homepage. And also, we have a book available there. I wrote a book, and thank you very much for promoting it. The book is called The Bible and Immigration. And for anyone that gives a gift of $25 or more online at golifa.com, we'll send them an autographed copy of the book. And the book's been selling pretty well, so thank you for your promotion. Good. And as well, Chris, when I'm done here, I have to go home and pack a suitcase.
Now, wait a minute. You didn't tell us about the condo.
And we have a condo as well, yes. If someone wants to give
a gift. If I had the money, I'd do this. I swear to God.
For $25, you can get a copy of The Bible and Immigration. We'll send it to you. For $2,500, we'll give you a week at a beautiful condo in Ponce Inlet, Florida. 1 week at a beautiful, fully furnished, three-bedroom, three-bath condominium overlooking a golf course in the Atlantic Ocean in Ponce Inlet. That's just south of Daytona Beach.
Yeah.
Gorgeous,
beautiful
gorgeous
area.
Place.
Beautiful area.
And people love it over there. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to add a couple of zeros to that 25 figure, absolutely we'll give them a week in Ponce Inlet.
Will you throw a book in, too?
We'll throw a couple of books in. Yeah, more than one. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
That would be a great. And there's flexibility, too, in terms of
absolutely.
When you want to use this, right?
Yeah, because they can go right on the website, and the phone number is on the website, and they can call us because if they have a specific weekend in mind. For instance, there are people, you know, up north in Boston, New York, Chicago, Philly, or wherever that, you know, it's summertime now, but they may be thinking about next winter already. And they may think, this might be a nice place to come next winter, you know, when you get 3 feet of snow on the ground in Boston or Chicago.
Indeed.
And so, yeah, so we have that. And people can find out more information about all of that at golifa.com. We have all the information on the website.
All right. Now, once again, real quick, you were telling me that after the show, you got to go home and pack.
I got to go home and pack because bright and early tomorrow morning, Jim and Paula Hansberger and I, they're the founders and he's the chairman of Legal Immigrants for America, and I, we're headed out to Illinois. And this week, four nights in a row, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we have four different speaking engagements to four different tea parties all around the state of Illinois. We're going to put a lot of miles on our rent-a-car in Illinois. Four different tea parties in four different cities in Illinois. None of them are Chicago. We're flying to Chicago, but then getting in a rent-a-car. So we'll be in Illinois for 4 days. Then we're coming back to Florida Friday, but we're flying directly to Jacksonville because next Saturday we'll be speaking next Saturday morning at the Bear Witness Central Conference up in Jacksonville. Our friend Juan Torres, who was on the board of Legal Immigrants for America, and his friend Rolando Perez, a good friend of mine, they head up Bear Witness Central, which is a great Hispanic Tea Party type of group and information group in Jacksonville. They're going to be having a conference at the Salem Center in Jacksonville next Saturday morning, and Paula and I will be two of the featured speakers. I'll just be speaking more about Legal Immigrants for America, what we believe and what we do, and Paula will be speaking on Do Legal Immigrants' Lives Matter? So we're going to be two of the featured speakers at that event. And so for anyone that might be interested in taking a ride up to Jacksonville, it's just near 90 minutes from here, easy drive, go on to golifa.com. We have all the information with the name, the address, everything you need to know about next Saturday morning at the Salem Center in Jacksonville, Florida, the Bear Witness Central Conference. We'll be speaking at it. And all the information is at golifa.com as we speak. And that's just the beginning of the fun, Chris. In other words, we're going to be in Illinois right here. Then we get Jacksonville. Then in about 3 weeks, mid-July. We're going back out to Las Vegas. We were in Las Vegas for about a week in January.
Did you see the temperature out there today?
It's going to be 110. Yes, I know that.
At midnight it'll be 110.
Seriously, yeah. Yeah, you'll be frying eggs on the sidewalk out there.
Ooh-wee. And we could literally do that.
Yeah, yeah, seriously, big time.
Around the edges. We've tried it before.
Exactly. It's going to be a little crispy. So we're going to be out there in Las Vegas for the Freedom Fest conference. It's the largest conservative/libertarian conference in the nation. George Foreman is going to be the keynote speaker, so I'm going to get to meet Big George out there.
I believe he's endorsed Trump, if I'm not mistaken.
I know Mike Tyson has.
Yeah.
I don't know if Big George. I wouldn't be surprised because George
is. Well, you might find out.
Find out. Judge Napolitano from Fox News is going to be one of the speakers. Dinesh D'Souza and a cast of thousands out there. So we're going to be out in Las Vegas for that. No one ever believes me when I say that I'm going to be at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas on business, but it's true.
Yeah.
Then I'm going directly from there to Washington to the Christians United for Israel National Conference in Washington, featuring Oliver North, John Hagee, and David Jeremiah. They're going to be doing a lot of panels and a lot of forums on Israel, obviously, and on Islam and on immigration. Because they're, you know, I mean, here's the difference between Israel and the United States, Chris. Israel has a leader that understands the problem of Muslim terrorism. The United States does not.
Yeah, and they have a population that understand it, too.
Exactly. They take it seriously. Yeah. They have the stomach to fight it.
You mentioned Juan Torres going to be in Jacksonville.
Yes.
But this Tuesday he's going to be somewhere else, too.
Exactly. Our friend Juan, who probably is listening right now, our friend Juan Torres, who's on our board of directors at Legal Immigrants for America, along with our other wonderful friend, Pastor Joe Boatwright. People listening who attend a Loma church know Joe very, very well. Joe and Juan this Tuesday will be meeting with Donald Trump in New York. On Tuesday, Trump is going to be meeting with various evangelical leaders. And so for all of us at Legal Immigrants for America, we are just so delighted and privileged that Juan and Joe, two members of our board of directors, we were just with them this week, will be meeting directly with Mr. Trump and with his aides up in New York. Jim, Paula, and I will be in Illinois, and Juan and Joe will be in New York with Trump.
Was that by invitation only? How'd they get that?
I think so, yeah, because I know that the Trump campaign is reaching out to different faith leaders, and both Juan and Joe fit that bill big time. I couldn't make it. The three of us couldn't make it. We were going to be in Illinois. And here's something else. We're making sure that Joe and Juan go up to New York to meet with Donald Trump and his staff, loaded with Legal Immigrants for America's new Immigration Voters Guide. Hot off the presses this week, we are publishing the 2016 Legal Immigrants for America Immigration Voters Guide. It's going to be debuting this week. Probably Juan will have your copy next Sunday night for you, Chris, and as well as many copies as you want. And it's basically, it's real simple. It compares and contrasts the immigration platforms of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in black and white. And, you know, and we are not diplomatic about it there either. We tell it like it is Howard Cosell used to say.
A couple things, and I want to get more into this, but you might want to give one of those voter guides to St. Pauli girl Ryan. But you should also have Juan deliver some copies of your book to Mr. Trump as well.
They will. Yeah, absolutely. We've already given copies of that book to different members of the Trump campaign and also to a couple of Senate candidates as well, in addition to meeting and interacting with lots of members of Donald Trump's campaign here in Florida. We recently have had meetings with Ron DeSantis and with Carlos Bayrouf as well.
Yeah.
And we were just with Bayrouf last week in Jacksonville. Very impressive guy. You know, Rubio's about to get back into the Senate race, apparently. This is not going to be a slam dunk for Rubio even to win the primary. Everyone thinks
it
is. Bayrouf is a very impressive guy, and he's got the money to go toe-to-toe.
So he'd stay in.
He's definitely staying. I've heard that Bayrouf and Wilcox are staying in. Jolly is always out, is already out. Lopez Cantera is getting out. DeSantis, it's unknown if he's going to stay in the race or he may get out and run for Congress again. But Bayrouf and Wilcox are going to stay in. I have not met Todd Wilcox yet. I've heard good things about him, but I've never met him. Yeah. Bayrouf was very, very impressive. And we actually have a video of us with him on the website as well at golifa.com.
Okay.
Along with all of our wonderful Chris Hart videos, we now have a Carlos Bayrouf video as well.
Cool. All right. And once again, all that is at golifa.com. You mentioned that Juan Torres is going up and Pastor Boatwright are going up to New York this week to the Trump Towers. And by the way, if there's anybody with the Trump people out there listening, when they get around to inviting your conservative radio talk show hosts, I've never been to New York, and I'd love to go.
Oh, you got to go up there. Yeah, you got to go up there. Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a great place.
Donald Trump is reaching out to evangelicals, and he's doing what he can to unite the party. Of course, he is Donald Trump. And you got Paul Ryan out there, and he was on Meet the Press this morning, and he's made this clear in the past. He's not on board with building a wall. He's not on board with the Muslim ban. He's not on board, as you said, with he's already produced a budget for Mr. Obama, which brings in 300,000 Muslims into this country. He's not on board with us, it doesn't seem.
Look, Chris, we're going to be in Illinois for the next 5 days, okay? I am very tempted to sneak right across that northern border up into Wisconsin, as they like to call it up there, and tell these people, you got to get this guy out of office. What's the point of having this guy? He's no different than Boehner at this point.
At this point, I'm thinking Boehner was better than this guy.
It was just, you know, it's six of one, half dozen of the other. It's the same thing, and I'm tired of it, and people are sick of it. It's this mushiness that people can't stand. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I'm not there yet. Oh, well, I don't know if I can support him wholeheartedly. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, come on. It's like, if that's the best you can do, just get out. Become a Democrat. Nancy Pelosi says, oh, I can work very, very well with Paul Ryan. Wow, surprise, surprise on that one. I guess you can.
Well, since he has no spine, it makes it a whole lot easier. But it makes your job harder, though, doesn't it?
Well, it's a situation where we have to look at the candidate more than the party. I'm glad you brought that up, because actually another one of our meetings is when we come back from Illinois. We're going to be meeting with State Rep Ray Pylon in Sarasota next week. And Ray Pylon wants us to help sponsor House Bill 675. Remember, that was the bill that failed this past year to defund sanctuary cities and defund sanctuary counties in Florida. The Republicans in the House passed it. The Republicans in the Senate killed it.
Yeah.
And so we're going to try to strengthen ourselves and go up there with more force. We're going to meet with him because he's one of the good guys. You know, he was one of the sponsors, and he wants to sponsor it again and go right back up there, loaded for bear, and see if we can do it in 2017. So we're with him on that.
All right. That's Steve Gushaw. I'm Christopher Hart, and you are listening to the American Adversaries Sunday Evening Classic Tour. Kathy Santomassina will be joining us, and you can join us as well at 407-774-8255. And please join us at the American Adversaries Army, our new website, AmericanAdversaries.com. We'll be right back. Okay, and away we go with the second half of the show. We got one half in, one half to go. Thanks for being out there with us. 407-774-8255 is the number. Christopher Hart here, along with Steve Gushaw of LIFA. That's Legal Immigrants for America. Go LIFA.com. Kathy Santomassino's in the studio. And as I said, you can join us at any time. Steve, a while ago, you were talking about how we already have great immigration laws on the books. And in fact, the funding for a wall was approved long time ago, wasn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, there was actually funding.
You seen a wall being built, though?
No, not much of one, that's for
not
sure.
Not in the U.S. anyway.
No, and it's the parts of the wall that are built are, you know, it's sort of like, okay, what do we got in the yard? Okay, let's make a wall out of this. Let's throw this up, and that'll be a wall.
Exactly.
Right?
Some duct tape and bakery string.
Oh, yeah. Here's some logs over here. Let's stand them up. That'll be a wall.
Yeah.
And it wasn't designed by engineers. It hasn't been designed to resist people climbing over it. And it can be. I mean, this should be designed by people who know what they're doing and built by people who know what they're doing. And the money has already been appropriated. Let me continue. And also, of course, there are laws on the books about deporting illegals, correct? And we also know, and Wes brought in a copy of the McLaren Act last week, and I talked about it on the show before. I've talked about it since. We'll obviously be talking about it more. And that is the law which gives Trump, gives Obama, which gives any president the power to ban any particular group from coming into this country if that president deems that that group is a threat to the United States. And indeed, Jimmy Carter has used that act, and has Barack Obama, when he banned for 6 months Iraqis from coming into this country. He himself banned a group of people who happen to be Muslim from coming into this country. Barack Obama has already done what Donald Trump is proposing to do on a larger scale. So why is it that Paul Ryan and these others can't get with the program? I can understand why liberals fight him, Trump, I mean. But Ryan, I mean, this is stupid. This is just stupid. But he's part of the problem. He's not the only one.
That's the problem with much of the Republican Party. You're absolutely right. Where I think a lot of the here's the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans when it comes to immigration, legal immigration, illegal immigration. The Democrats, the liberal Democrats, say, we love illegal immigrants. We love amnesty. We don't want to build a wall. We want to have a green light at the border instead.
We want to build bridges, not walls.
We want to build bridges, right. Not walls. By the way, if you're building a wall, wouldn't it kind of make sense to have a builder as president to build a wall? Doesn't that kind of make sense? So the Democrats, they tell you right up front, we love illegals, we love amnesty, we want to fund sanctuary cities, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we know where they stand. Too many of the Republicans say, oh, we're with you, legal immigrants for America. Yes, we oppose illegal immigration. We oppose amnesty. We want to stop what Obama's doing. And then do they lift even one single finger to try to stop it? Absolutely not, because deep down, they favor illegal immigration because so much of the business community wants illegals. Big business wants illegals so they can pay them $5 an hour under the table instead of paying Americans a just wage, because it saves them money and makes them money.
And I believe
they contribute to the coffers of the Republican Party, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, etc. They love illegal immigration.
Well, I believe they're also looking at the illegals to, if you will, bail them out. In other words, because of the Ponzi scheme nature of Social Security, they need more people pumping in money to pay people who are like baby boomers,
exactly,
who are going to be on Social Security, because it is a Ponzi scheme. And because all the Social Security money is gone, it is spent, long gone, nothing in there but IOUs. So what they're thinking is, okay, we're not making enough babies. So what we'll do is we'll bring in illegal immigrants, and if they won't come across the border, you know, fast enough, why, we'll just ship them in from the Middle East. And who gives a damn, you know, if they're Muslim or whatever. We just need warm bodies in here making money so that they can pay into Social Security so that we don't have to make hard changes or admit that we've, you know, we've spent grandma's money.
Can I make a point?
Go ahead.
You know, the Democrats have always been notorious for giving entitlements to people who are unwed and have babies out of wedlock. However, if they gave an incentive to get married the traditional way and have children in a unified marriage and give us tax incentives, that would take care of the illegal immigration argument, wouldn't it?
No, I don't think so, because they do that. They have the child tax credit and things like that. But partly what you say is, yeah, they don't put enough emphasis on having incentives to keep the marriage, to keep family intact, because they provide too many incentives for those who don't keep marriage intact, who don't keep the family intact. In other words, the incentive is there to break the family up.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But beyond that, too, this is just the destruction and the devastation of the American workforce as well. Because for every illegal immigrant that you have, whether they're working in a citrus grove or on a farm or in a motel or in a kitchen somewhere or wherever, that is a job that is not going to an American citizen. That's the bottom line.
And I think what they're missing the real problem. The real problem isn't to have a bunch of illegals or whatever come in here and work a bunch of cheap jobs. The real problem is we don't have enough good, high-paying jobs anymore. And this is, once again, where Trump comes into the equation. He understands that that is the real crux of the issue here. We don't have economic growth because we don't have jobs. And if you don't have jobs, you're not going to have economic growth because there's no growth of wealth.
Look, ask anyone you know that's involved in the service industry, whether someone works at one of the theme parks or works at a restaurant or wherever. Try to find a full-time employee, someone that's working 30 hours a week or more at any sort of service industry job. They are rare and hard to find these days because of Obamacare, number one. And again, there's just this whole philosophy where part-time work is it. You cannot feed a family if you're only working part-time. You got to work about 5 different part-time jobs at this point.
And, of course, the liberal solution is to raise the minimum wage.
Raise the minimum wage, so which puts the whole company out of business.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, the unemployment claims this past week were much higher than predicted. And guess which state showed a huge jump in unemployment? California. And guess which state,
wow,
you know, just implemented a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Yeah, and that means that, you know, Big Macs are going to be about 15 bucks a burger as well if
they try to do that. What will happen is,
and you'll have robots delivering it to you.
Well, I was going to say, you'll have a slight increase maybe in the price of the burger, but the market pressures will be there. Rather than increase the price of the burger, it will be to lower the overhead of the restaurant. And the way you lower, the most effective way to lower the overhead of the restaurant is to reduce the number of employees, because that is your highest one overhead cost of all of your costs.
And that means higher unemployment. It's
exactly.
That simple.
But here's
exactly.
What's happening. The fast food restaurants have figured it out. They're replacing servers and people that work the line with technology-oriented machinery. You go to any restaurant now, and you can order without ever speaking to a person. And look what Amazon has done. Amazon has basically completely become robotic in their shipping department.
Yeah. Automotive factories as well. Yeah, it's the same thing.
You have a natural tendency to do that as technology advances. The problem with when you have government step in and demand a certain wage level, you exacerbate the problem. In other words, let's take McDonald's, for instance. Okay, they've been using people at the counter, they've been having people in the back. They are fine with having employees work at the restaurant as long as the restaurant can be profitable. But when having employees work at the restaurant forces the restaurant to be unprofitable, they have to make other changes. And this is what I'm saying. Yeah, you're seeing these changes because government is making it more expensive to have employees. That's the bottom line. With Obamacare, with the minimum wage, it is more expensive now to hire someone and have them do a job for you. And when it gets to the point where it is no longer practical, then you get a machine.
Or, alternatively, you get an illegal that you can pay a lot cheaper under the table do the job as well.
But then, of course, government steps in to make that more difficult because they will demand that, even because they're illegal, you still got to pay them the minimum wage. But the bottom line is...
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that the government forces change on business that business doesn't necessarily want to make, but will make if push comes to shove.
Well, that's not a free market. It's a forced market.
Exactly, and that's what's happening in California. The reason that they had more unemployment claims is because people are losing jobs at restaurants, at fast food restaurants, at hotels, where they can be replaced with technology. Not because necessarily that's what the business wanted to do, but is now what the business has to do.
And, Chris,
thank you very much, Democrats and liberals.
I don't think those jobs that are lost to technology will come back. I think they're lost. I think, if anything, the whole workforce paradigm is shifting.
Well, it is, and that's the unfortunate thing. Because it eventually will shift to the point that it won't be reversible. And a lot of those jobs will not come back. But some of them will, because some restaurants may see it as an opportunity to, once again, service is always a valuable commodity. And when it gets to the point where, I'll open up a chain of restaurants where what I'm going to sell is you'll get that personal touch. You see, it can come back, but the economic conditions, the economic environment has to change in a different direction than the one we're going now. The way we're going now is, you're forcing people out of good jobs. You're forcing us to take illegals just to have people to take low-paying jobs, just to make sure Social Security is, can put out the checks. We're in a real bind. And the Republicans, I think, part of the problem is they don't know the way out of it.
I think they do know the way out, but they don't care anymore. It's just about them getting elected and getting reelected and having as much power and money as they can. And they just don't care about future generations.
You're far more cruel than I am.
You're too diplomatic over there, Chris. Too diplomatic. Take off those rose-colored glasses.
I hardly ever hear that around here. But I fear that you're right. I hope that I'm right, but I fear that you're right, that they just don't care anymore. But once again, and I said this earlier in the show, though, that's why they fear Trump. They fear Trump for two reasons. The Democrats fear him because he could win. The Republicans and Democrats fear him because if he wins, he might be successful. And that is the last thing that they want to have happen.
They're out of luck. They're out of power at that point. He doesn't need them. He doesn't need their money. He doesn't need their PACs or anything. That's why they fear him more than anything else.
Not only that, but he has proven that these so-called, you know, experts at government don't know what the hell they're doing.
On either side of the aisle.
On either side of the aisle. That's it. And once again, Steve Gushov, golifa.com. That's G-O-L-I-F-A.com. He has put together, authored, if you will, an excellent little book called, it's a big book, actually. I mean, it's not big in terms of how big it is, but the message is huge.
Thank you.
It's called Immigration and the Bible.
The Bible and Immigration.
I'm sorry, The Bible and Immigration. And that's my dyslexia coming
that's
out. The Bible and Immigration. And you can get a copy of this book for a $25 donation to LIFA. You'll get a free autographed copy of the book. And then if you want to get extra copies, can they do that?
Absolutely. And then they can get extra copies at $10 each.
$10 each.
Yep.
So you need
GoLIFA.com.
Get a handful of these things and hand them out, because it's important that people understand that the Bible addresses immigration. The Bible. If I'm not mistaken, that book was written a while back, wasn't it?
Hey, if borders were good enough for the promised land, if God said borders were good enough for the promised land, they're good enough for the U.S. and Mexico.
Amen, my brother. All right, we got Aubrey Kahn on the line. We'll pick him up on the other side of the break, and you can join us as well. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz, if you can take it.
And of course you can, because you're out there listening, and we appreciate that. All right. We got Aubrey Kahn, who's also a member of Legal Immigrants for America, on the line. So let's bring him into conversation right now. Aubrey Kahn.
Good evening, everybody.
Happy Father's Day to you and all the other fathers out there listening.
And the same to all of them out there, too. I don't know how many children you have, Chris. I haven't seen any of them, but, well, that's for another day.
Well, that's my biggest regret in life. Ain't got none. That I know of.
That was a pregnant pause. That's a little awkward right there.
I didn't want
Aubrey,
to go
say
anywhere,
something.
So I, yeah, no.
Go ahead.
But you know, this whole immigration mess and this whole minimum wage mess is done on purpose by the government. I think we've all come to that conclusion. You know, and at $15 an hour, you're not going to get manufacturing back in this country. And so you're going to continue to have high unemployment, and it's going to continue to get higher. And the only way to fix that is you've got to get rid of the people that are here illegally, number one. Number two, you've got to stop hiking the minimum wage, because soon we can't export anything anymore either.
Yeah, won't have any factories to do that. Steve.
Well, I was going to say, Aubrey, you're the perfect person to address this, because you're a legal immigrant who is also a business owner here.
Exactly.
So you kind of see both sides of the street in terms of from a businessman standpoint, as well as the standpoint of a legal immigrant. And so you must see this every day, how bad this is.
That's why I scream and shout about that all the time. And, the way to get all the, welfare mooches off welfare is to force them back to work.
Well, that was the whole idea behind the Welfare Reform Act, and actually it was working quite well until Obama came along.
Right, but even then you had people that were able to play the system.
Yeah, well, that's true. Anytime you got the government giving away money,
you're always going to have people that play the system, but you still make the attempt. That's why, like, you know, when Obama or anybody says, oh, we can't, you know, we'll never be able to deport illegals. Well, yes, you can if you make an attempt to do so. There's no attempt. And so as long as there's an attempt, you can. Aubrey, I want to ask you a question, because as a businessman, what do your fellow businessmen feel about this whole issue of illegal immigration, illegal immigrants taking jobs at cheaper wages under the table, and the whole minimum wage issue, $15 an hour? Yeah, I mean, you must talk to them every day.
you know, on the illegal immigrants taking jobs.
Yeah.
That's always been an issue here. Because the government's not willing to close the borders. The government's not willing to deport illegals. And you're always going to find people that will try and obfuscate the law and buck the system so as to make an extra penny on a dollar.
Yeah. I think something else is going on, too, with our education system. Not that just that we're giving kids a bad education, which we are. But we're driving kids into college. College has become this money-making machine, and the student is the sap, if you will.
And because, the value of the degree has lessened as well.
Yeah, because you got everybody going to college.
Exactly.
And everybody doesn't need to go to college. There are a lot of good opportunities.
20% of the people that go to college actually get jobs where they need a college degree.
Right. And Aubrey is a home inspector. He deals with crafts people all the time. There are excellent jobs in the air conditioning field, in the plumbing field, in other fields that have to do with the normal blue-collar, hands-on, you know, type of work that are excellent jobs. I mean, some air conditioner techs can make $100,000 a year, can't they, Aubrey?
They do. They sure do. And so do plumbers.
Yeah. $100,000 a year.
It's supply demand. I mean, it's very basic. You're right. Because today, the value of a college degree today, is about the same as a high school degree 40 years ago. Where now you really have to get an MBA to have the equivalent of what a BA was maybe 40 years ago.
Yeah,
an advanced
right
degree.
Yeah.
But you're right. There are so many other opportunities for people where you don't necessarily need a college degree.
Yeah.
But they're churning out all these bogus degrees, like majoring in the way a dog sniffs another dog's butt.
It's
total nonsense.
There are those, but then
racking up $100,000 in debt.
Yeah, well, that's the other side. That's why I say the colleges have become a money making machine, and basically for the Democrat Party, and that they have put the students in a huge debt burden, and it makes them more helpless, more susceptible to being wards of the state. So it fits their motif of making people less independent and making them, you know, more willing for, say, socialist solutions if some old socialist were to come around and start hawking them.
Hey,
right?
Why do you think so many college kids love Bernie?
That's
if someone's telling me, oh, you're going to have free tuition, of course you're going to love the guy.
Yeah, especially when you're looking at $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to get a BA.
A year.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Exactly. So it's, you know, it becomes very, very tempting, which, of course, as Aubrey said, it's meant to be. And,
but, you know, colleges are notorious all over the world for making students liberal.
Oh yeah, that has to do with the curriculum.
I mean, that's why they call them liberal arts colleges.
Well,
heard of a conservative arts college?
Yeah, well, that has to do with the curriculum. I'm talking about now the economics of it too. So
you put anyone in debt and then promise them a way out. Who are they going to vote?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
but you've still got all these welfare people that are collecting welfare for the last 10, 15, 20 years, who are eating lobster and steak and all the rest, and they drive nice vehicles.
Well,
but and the reason why is because they know how to play the system. But if you put in a system where they have to prove that they're looking for employment and they have to do work for the state or the municipality for 20 hours a week, and you take all the road repair equipment and you put it on the side, you give them picks and shovels, I can guarantee you within 2 weeks of working in Florida during the summer months, they will find work elsewhere.
That's a good point.
All right. Thanks, Aubrey. Appreciate you calling tonight. All right. And don't forget, yep, you too. And once again, Aubrey is the host of the Talk to the Experts show. Speaking of, you know, craftsmen and that sort of thing, it's all about home ownership, how to buy a house, how to sell a house, how to take care of a house. That's Talk to the Experts every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. It is a live call-in show. And they're going to have some carpenter named Hart on there.
this carpenter named Hart.
Yeah, this
I've heard of a
Saturday.
Carpenter named Jesus. There's a carpenter named Hart as well? Wow. Is he from Nazareth, too?
Yours truly. Haven't been there yet. Yours truly will be with Aubrey this coming Saturday on the when they told me about it, I thought they said, talk to the ex-jerks. And I said, yeah, that fits me. And then they said, talk to the experts. I said, you sure you want me? So anyway, that'll be Saturday from 1 to 3. Once again, golifa.com, golifa.com. And Go Lifa is all for legal immigration. We're all for people coming
exactly.
here legally. Because when people come here legally, like Aubrey, like so many others.
Juan Torres,
they
Pola.
Want to be a part of America.
Exactly.
They're not coming here to make America something else. And that's the problem with illegals, and that's the problem with refugees, is that they are not coming here to be Americans. They are coming here to bring their way of life, their culture, to us. And that's a whole different matter.
Legal immigrants are givers to this nation. Illegal immigrants are takers. That's the bottom line. We say it 1,000 times at Legal Immigrants for America. Legal immigrants are givers. They give their background, their skills, their experience to better this nation economically. Illegals just take. And who has to pay for everything they're taking? You and I, the American taxpayers. It's
that
simple.
That's it.
It's very basic.
Okay, we got Stan on the line next. Stan, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Chris. Ditto to everything you said. Ban the Muslims for good. Anyway, I've written a limerick for the Trump campaign. It's entitled Ode to Crooked Hill and Bimbo Bill. I wanted to share that. There was once a pill named Hill who pursued a guy named Bill. Together they enjoyed that mutual thrill, but Bill soon lost his luster, so Hill sought out some other. She found another wiener, Huma by name, and Bill and Hill have never been the same.
I love it. Hey, I tell you what, Stan, you need to send that to us so we can we'll pass that on and we'll put it in our on our website or in the next newsletter. So I tell you what, if you'll stay on the line, I'll give you the. Well, actually, just send it to Chris Hart at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And that
not radio. We dropped the radio.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's Chris Hart at AmericanAdversaries.com. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. It's the new website, and we'll get that stuff out. All right, Stan. Thanks. That was excellent.
Thank you, Chris. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
All right,
you
we did.
Good work.
Yep. Thank you, sir. You do the same.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. All right.
You have a very literate audience here, Chris.
Indeed,
that was very good.
Indeed we do. Once again, how can people help out LIFA?
Yeah, they can go to golifa.com, G-O-L-I-F-A.com. Please donate to us. You can donate right online, read all of our great articles, watch all of our great videos, and support us at golifa.com.
And if you donate $25, you get?
A copy of the Bible and Immigration Book. $25, donate online, golifa.com.
And extra copies are?
$10 each.
Get a handful, folks. Please, get a handful. Support LIFA. They support us, by the way.
Absolutely.
They're a great sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show. You help them, they help us. That's beautiful. As Trump says, it's beautiful.
It's huge.
Celebrating 50 years as Apopka's hometown station. 1520 WPZW.
Apopka, Orlando.
Community events, financial news, weather, traffic.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, once again, welcome to the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour. Just a couple of things here before we move on. Once again, happy Father's Day to all of you fathers in the audience out there. And also, there is another vigil, a memorial, if you will, going on downtown at Lake Eola. This is not a funeral, as obviously those have been going on too and will be going on. This is a vigil that everyone is invited to at Lake Eola Park. It's starting right now. I don't know how long it's going to last, but there it is. It's nice to have these vigils. They do have a place. But we need to, you know, we need to focus on that, that this isn't going to get the job done. Vigils will not protect us. Guns, I'm afraid, will protect us. And we don't need to be debating about how to disarm America. We need to be debating about how can we protect America. I am Christopher Hart. You are listening to the Sunday evening 3-hour American Adversaries Classic Tour on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Thanks for being with us. Steve Gushov has left the studio to pack for his trip to Illinois in the morning. And Kathy Santo Massino is in the studio. And now, on the line, we have coming to us live from California, Sunny, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling. Sunny, are you there?
I am here, guys. Hi. And I want to say happy Father's Day to you and everyone there in the studio and out in Florida and everywhere around the world. Happy Father's Day. And all the mothers that are, you know, have dual roles, actually play the father as well.
Yep. Well, of course, we still have a lot of very sad families here in Central Florida.
Oh, yes.
Sons, brothers, fathers who were killed by the terrorist 1 week ago now. And the pain and suffering that they will feel will never cease. We must be steeled by this. We must be driven to want to stop this sort of thing. And I'll assume that that's what the president and Hillary Clinton want to do when they're calling, you know, obviously for assault, what they call assault weapons and this sort of thing. But that's taking the eye off the ball.
Yeah, it's not working. That's not what we need.
Well, not only that, but the Boston City Bombers didn't use guns. They used pressure cookers. They used things that you buy to cook food in.
Right.
And the only reason they didn't kill more people is because they were basically inept. But the problem is serious. But I want to go back, start over with you, because you have, too, had a personal loss.
Well, that's true. And as you were on the subject of the Orlando, you know, shooting, I just wanted to say again, you know, it's horrific, the incident, that we lost 49 people, victims of this. But when they have a funeral, and the funeral gets protested by demonstrators, anti-gay, it just pure evil haters is what I say. How can you do that at a funeral?
Yeah, that's the Westboro.
That's wrong.
She's talking about the Westboro Baptist Church have reared their ugly head here in Central Florida. We're not for that at all. We don't support. They did the same thing to I believe it was Iraq war veterans, once again we, you know, that's absurd. That's adding insult to injury. That's adding pain to suffering, and that's not what Christians are supposed to be all about. Christians are supposed to be about love and forgiveness. Now I will say this,
and also the families to the two deputies that were, you know, that were hit. They were ran over there from an inpatient driver there at the funeral.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's incredible. Just the callousness. But it's as far as the protesters go, there were counter protesters who made sure that the families didn't have to witness their rudeness and lack of civility and manners. To me, that's not true Christianity.
That is definitely not. Those people don't have morals or a soul. If you do that at a funeral, it's shame on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, if you want to protest, go somewhere else. That's not there's a time.
Go protest yourself in the mirror.
Time and place.
That's what they need to do.
Time and place for everything. All right. That being said, tell us about your cousin.
Yes, I got the news three days ago. I sent a picture to Jeff. He was in the Marines. Very fine young Marine. He went in at 18 and he just passed away at 24. So we are still, my niece is investigating what has occurred. He wasn't working, you know, near Obama. He was working up in Washington guarding the missiles for Obama. And he contracted lead poisoning. So he has lead poisoning, and they're not sure if that was the the whole episode for his pancreas. He had an inflamed pancreas. He went in the hospital, the VA hospital here in Long Beach, California. And it happened so very fast, first of all, Chris. It's very sad. A strong, virile man, we just don't get it.
Yeah, we're just shocked still. He had lead poisoning?
He contracted lead poisoning, of course, yes, in the Marines. And now all the troops, I guess his what do you say when there are a pack of them in his
division, his platoon?
His division, yeah. Let's say. They will have to get tested, too, now for lead poisoning.
Because they think he may have been exposed to this on duty, on job,
yes, on
the
duty,
job, so to speak.
Guarding the missiles right next to Obama in Washington, D.C. My cousin was married in the White House.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. I have pictures on my Facebook with him and his wife. He was very honored. It's just heartbreaking. I just get tear just talking about it. But, yeah, so he had inflamed pancreas, went in to the VA hospital. I guess his kidneys from that, he was swelling up from the water. So, you know, when water doesn't escape your body, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
So they started dialysis. He went under 7 dialysis treatments. And he went into 2 cardiac arrests.
Oh, my God.
They brought him back from the last kidney treatment. His blood pressure was sustained. His heart rate was coming back. He looked stabilized. They told my niece and her husband, Luis, to go ahead and get some rest, go home. And about 2:45, he had a major cardiac arrest, and they couldn't bring him back in the morning.
Boy, I am so sorry to hear that. Our thoughts and prayers go out to you. That is very sad. There are some curious things there, but above all, it is very sad and very sudden, as you said. I don't know if lead poisoning would do that. I don't know all the ramifications of lead poisoning, but I do know that it is a heavy metal. And the kidneys, the pancreas, and those would be the things that would try to get that out of the body and could certainly affect them very negatively.
My niece is going to start the investigation. She's got the military, by the way, behind her, and as well as me. You know, when I spoke to her, it was breaking my heart, and she couldn't hardly talk. She was overwhelmed because this is her. She has 4 children. But I can't imagine, you know, like I said, burying your own child, it's devastating. Like everyone in Orlando, all those victims, I just can't imagine it, you know.
It's hard to fathom. It is.
Yes. And I told her, I said, you know what? I'm right there. Don't you back down. You've got to make a stand, as we all do in this world, against what's going on with the hatred, with the ISIS members, with Muslims. There's good ones out there. There's bad. You know, we all have to protect our, like I was telling Jeff, there's 2 things that we need in this world. One, of course, we need oxygen. The second is family. And if we don't stand up and fight against what's right in this world, this is going to keep on happening.
Yeah,
same thing. And we're going to lose our military, not against guns. But if this is the fact with this lead poisoning, that's horrific.
Yeah, it is. Because
that should have never, ever happened to our fine young men that are fighting for us to be safe in this world.
Yeah, and it would have been, had to have been a way that he would have been ingesting that in massive quantities to be poisoned like that.
Yes, well, he was there 24/7,
coming in contact.
That I know, because I would talk to my niece, and I said, how is he doing? He's up there. They can't even talk to, you know, when he's in there.
Sure.
And we'll find more about it, and as it unravels, we'll speak of it more on the next show, and then on the next show, the funeral. This will be my first military funeral, so it's going to be heartbreaking. My brother cannot even make it, Chris, because he's on COPD. Like, my mother passed away from COPD, and he's on oxygen 24 hours in Oregon, I guess it is.
And that's his son.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, that's his grandson.
His grandson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a terrible thing.
Yeah, that's his grandson. So he can't make it down, so we're going to film, you know, the whole funeral for him so he can see that. But it's my niece's son, so he's my cousin, and it's Anthony. And, you know, it's spelled Gutierrez, and I just don't have that Latin flair say it right.
Gutierrez.
He's on my Facebook if you want to, you know, pay amends and tribute. Just I put pictures up, and like I said, I sent it to Jeff. He's a very handsome, looks just like my brother. So sad. Yep.
Well,
and,
certainly.
Married, no children. Mm-hmm. And his wife was there. You know, they were all there. So, you know, that's it.
Yeah,
but,
well,
we fight the good fight in this world. That's all we can do. You
that's
know?
It. That's why we're here.
Yeah, and life's too precious and obviously too short.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
too.
It goes, you never know. One minute you're talking to somebody and the next they're not here. And God knows I've had enough in 4 years like this. You know, everyone's like, God, Sonny, you've just had one after another of your family members. I'm like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, this.
So I embrace every day and thank God every day. And, you know, I ask God why. But, you know, again, when God calls, he calls.
Yeah.
We can't,
that's right.
There's nothing we can do.
You got to answer that bell, that's for sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, once again, we are very sad and sorry to hear that. And
thank you.
Well, your nephew will be in our prayers and your family.
Thank you very much. My cousin.
Your cousin, I'm sorry.
My
your cousin.
Cousin, yeah.
Let me just ask you real quick
sure.
on a different topic. There, forest fires are back in the Southwest. I'm sorry, Jeff, can you give us about three more here? Forest fires, are you up in the mountains? Are you in any way threatened by them?
No, but our fire staff, a lot of them, our forest rangers, have moved over that way into Santa Barbara. It's growing. You know, we've had high temperatures, and Monday it's going to be in 120.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we've got it hot up here as well. It's 98 today.
In the mountains. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, can you believe? So high winds and everything, it's not looking too pretty. They have it 24% contained, and this is in Santa Barbara. This is called the Sherpa Fire. There's 7,811 acres that have burned so far. Evacuations everywhere throughout Santa Barbara. And it's so beautiful. And it's a shame they've always gotten fires there. You know, they've went through so many horrific things there. And it's just such a pretty area, and it's just tragic. But we did lose, I guess, a development, and they saved the campground there, thank God. But there was a water, I guess you want a water treatment plant
facility
that burned down. Yeah.
Is that right? The water treatment facility.
Yes, and El Capitan Beach burned down overnight. It's really sad.
Any relief on the way? Do they think there's any like rain or relief on the way? I know you're getting a little bit more rain and snow this past winter.
Tuesday, they say.
Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Well.
Now, I don't know if it's going to be up here or not, but it's still going to be super hot.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be in the 90s, and the hundreds down there in the valley. Santa Barbara, the same. So.
Yeah, I saw that today. They're going to be like 110 or something like that down there.
Oh, yeah. Unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah. The valley yesterday was 117.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know it may be hard to believe, but we have a solar scientist who's on our show regularly. As a matter of fact, he was here Friday, and he's saying that this is sort of the last burst of solar energy before we go into a sustained cooling spell. So,
really?
Yeah. I know it's hard to believe now, but...
Wow.
Yeah, we shall see.
Sure.
We shall see. And another thing that he said is that when the Earth goes into these cooling periods, you know, we have been in a warming period.
Yes.
And we are now going to go into a cooling period because he traces this according to solar cycles.
Okay.
And the energy output of the sun. It operates very much clockwork-like. Mm-hmm. He says that as the Earth cools, it also increases, get this, seismic activity, correct?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I could have guessed. Yes,
yeah.
Of course. And we've had a few, you know, not up here, but gosh, we don't want them, Chris.
Yeah.
That got me scared, because we're due for that big one, like I said, or bigger ones.
Yeah, he also said
big.
Tennessee and South Carolina sit on big faults as well that people aren't aware of. So, once again, our sorrow goes out to you for your cousin.
Thank you.
We'll keep him in our prayers, and we're interested to know anything you can find out about that, because that is very curious.
I'm not going to back down and let her back down now. This will take all the way there. As long as they get the autopsy report, we'll find out what's going on.
All right.
And then we'll go from there. But, I told her, I've got your back. I'm right there with you. Back down. Someone's got to make a stand. You know, what are they going to do?
And we're right there with you, girl.
Yep. That's right.
You take
Thank
care until next week.
And happy Father's Day again. And enjoy a beautiful Sunday there.
Thanks. All right.
Uh-huh.
Good night.
Have a sunny day. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All right. That's Patricia Summerlin, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling. And during that conversation, I was notified by Nostradamus that she has put up some new pictures that you might want to see on her Facebook page. So check those out at Patricia Summerlin. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries. Once again, please keep her cousin in your prayers. We'll be right back.
Baloney.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, we pile drive liberal baloney. All right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. And, you know, summertime is here, and that means sunburn. It means, you know, getting burning yourself on the grill when you're cooking steaks or whatever. It means bug bites. It means nicks and scrapes from working in the yard. Maybe get your hands on some poison ivy or sumac or something like that. And there's only one thing that I think covers all these bases and then some. And they're constantly getting testimonials with new uses for this product. It's called Roxy Pacifics. It's great stuff. I use it every day, and especially if I nick or cut myself. It's all natural. It's kelp-based solution. It's real easy to use. You just squirt it on. You just spray it on. And it is safe. You can use it on children. You can use it on pets. You can use it on old folks. And you can use it anywhere you can spray it. Literally, anywhere you can spray this stuff, you can use it. It's an antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. I call it fertilizer or miracle grow for your skin because it's the right chemical composition to make your skin grow healthily. That's why it helps you heal quickly from wounds, because it makes your skin grow healthily. It helps your skin do what it naturally wants to do. And you know as well as I do, if you don't eat, you can't do much, right? If you don't feed a plant, it'll die. Same thing with your skin. It has to have the proper nutrients to grow properly. Normally, we get those through, you know, proper nutrition. But sometimes when you injure yourself or you have chronic problems, you need that extra little boost of something. Roxy Pacifics is the stuff. I guarantee you, you try the stuff, you'll love it. And it's real easy to get. You can go to their website. That is skinfix.us. Just remember, to fix your skin, go to skinfix.us. Or even easier than that, go to our brand new website, one-stop shop, AmericanAdversaries.com, and you'll find them there along with the other sponsors. That's Roxy Pacifics, AmericanAdversaries.com, or skinfix.us. Okay, we got a caller on the line. We'll take James next. James, thank you for calling.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I heard your first hour, and I agree with almost everything you said. You got to calm down, though. You were getting so excited. Just talking at that level causes high blood pressure and heart attacks, so just take it a little easier.
Okay.
And I heard you talking about Roxy Pacific.
Yes.
And I am a user, and it does work. It does help heal up, you know, like you said, bug bites. And I mentioned before that I put it in the dropper and drop it into my eyes for dry eyes. And so you've made a believer out of me by giving me a sample of Roxy Pacific. Anyway.
Glad to hear it.
What I wanted to call about is you mentioned the conscience clause that some of the Republicans are trying to have.
Yes.
If they have so much conscience or conscientious objection to voting for Trump, then what they need to do is resign from being a representative and let an alternate vote who will vote for the person elected by the people.
Yeah,
that is the conscientious thing to do.
I like that. I do.
Mean,
that is the more conscientious thing to do. You're right. I'm just not going to participate in this process. Just let me out of it.
Yeah. Just, you know, take the alternate.
Yeah. Because
We've talked about it before, but as far as recruitment, one of the biggest things now about the recruitment, and this is based on what, I don't know if you remember, I think it was 22 Somalis who were convicted in Minnesota.
Yes.
For joining ISIS or whatever.
Yeah.
They had psychological evaluations, and their main impetus was to, is that they wanted to live in a caliphate and live under Sharia law.
Right.
And so one of the biggest recruitments now is, you know, I believe the proper term is romanticism, not like boys and girls kissing, but like when Horace Greeley said, go west, young man.
Right.
Or talking about let's go and be nice in Camelot.
Right.
Well, that's what these people are doing.
Exactly. Right.
They're going over there to live in the caliphate under Sharia law and to have their multiple wives and do whatever else they want to do under Sharia.
Yeah. And
that's exactly one of the reasons before that, you know, I was 7 or 8 Sundays ago, I'm sure, that I called in and I said that I thought that Obama, and I'll add Clinton to it as well, was guilty of treason for providing material support and comfort to the enemy, because they had been removing the regional leaders, the Gaddafis, the guy in Mubarak in Egypt.
Mubarak in Egypt,
they had been removing those people who prevented the caliphate from reforming because they had their own territories that they would force these people out of. And the Clintons and Obamas are getting their advice from the Muslim Brotherhood. We've talked before about Ummah having both parents being officials of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And even when it comes to John Kerry, John Kerry's son-in-law's father was one of the negotiators for Iran.
Yeah, for Iran. Not for us, but for
Iraq.
Iran.
For Iraq, when they were doing the, whatever they call the arms deal.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it is a very, let's just say, the problem has become so complicated and intertwined into our political system. It's going to be very difficult to solve. But that's where Trump comes in, because he is so out of the ordinary that he's not caught up in this web, if you will. And I think he's going to be our last chance, I should say, because as the web gets bigger and thicker, it's going to get to the point where it'll be impossible to break out of it, so to speak.
Yeah, I have bad feelings for my children and grandchildren.
I do too. And that's why we're fighting and doing everything we can with what we have. Go ahead.
One last thing.
I'll get
off the air.
All right.
People talk about the Quran being this unviolable book that was delivered by Allah through Muhammad to the people.
Right.
Well, Muhammad could neither read nor write. He had scribes following him around and wrote little notes of everything he said. And if he didn't like what was read back to him at a later date, he'd revise it.
Yeah.
And
after
Muhammad died, all of those notes were lost. And the leaders at that time called on everybody to, you know, give them notes of what Muhammad had said, and they put together a new Quran.
Yeah.
And that Quran was lost.
Yeah,
it had to be reconstructed again.
Yeah, well,
so
see,
we're talking about a reconstruction of a reconstruction.
Yeah, well, you just made the same mistake Salman Rushdie made, and don't be surprised if they put out a jihad against you, because that was what the Satanic Verses was about, what the book that Rushdie wrote. It's basically a novel where he talks about how, see, actually the Quran came through the angel Gabriel to Muhammad. And the story, according to Salman Rushdie, is Muhammad screwed up and got a couple of verses wrong. But he went ahead, they went ahead and put him into Quran anyway, right? So he got a death threat because of that. So you better be careful out there, James. All right.
Thanks. Don't give him my last name and I'll be okay.
Don't worry. Your information is safe with us, my friend. We're in the same boat.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Chris. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for being there. Thanks for the testimonial about Roxy Pacifics. All right. When we come back. Thank you. We come back. Kathy Santomassino has some of her Sunday's odd stories ready for us. I don't know how she can top reality, but she does. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. We got another half hour of the American Adversary Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour, and then you got 3 hours of Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, and of course, obviously, he's going to have a lot more to talk. They're going to have a lot more to talk about tonight Well, with all these calls, once again, for gun control, there are going to be four votes tomorrow in the Senate on various bills having to do with assault weapons and, you know, people on terrorist watch lists being able to buy guns or not or whatever. And it's a very interesting debate, especially when it comes to the guns, selling guns to people on the terrorist watch list, because even the FBI director has said, be careful about that because you can screw up some of our investigations. So we'll see what happens tomorrow with those votes, but nonetheless, tonight, Armed American Radio, 8 to 11. We got Kathy Santomassino with some of Sunday's odd stories, so why don't we start with one of those. And once again, 407-774-8255 is the number.
Well, this story comes out of Citrus County in Florida. It's very shocking, Chris. We've had one of those newsworthy weeks, but not for a good thing here in Florida. A Florida mother is being praised after she thwarted a kidnapping suspect who allegedly grabbed the woman's 13-year-old daughter and tried to run out of a store. This is amazing. The sheriff's office was called about the attempted abduction at a Dollar General store in Hernando at 11:42 a.m. This was during the week. An off-duty sheriff's deputy was outside the business and arrested Craig Bonello as he tried to flee in a vehicle. Bonello, 30, of Hernando, allegedly grabbed the teen and tried to drag her out of the store. The girl's mother caught up to him and freed her after a tug of war.
Yeah.
Now, try to picture this. The mother has the daughter on one end, and the abductor has her...
Yeah, it was almost
on the other end. I think the mother had her feet and the abductor had her hands.
They're tugging
each other.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the good thing is they were able to arrest the perpetrator. They don't understand why Bonello grabbed the girl in broad daylight in a store where customers were her mother there. A dumb criminal story, right?
He's an idiot.
Bonello was most recently arrested for trespassing at an Inverness Walmart store in February, according to sheriff's office records, and he has several other arrests for misdemeanors since 2009. None of the cases involve abduction, according to court records. Unbelievable story, but...
Oh, well, I guess he got confused what was on the shelf and what wasn't. But just imagine, luckily, the woman got the daughter freed. But just imagine if that woman would have pulled the .38 out of her purse and said, okay, USOB, one more step and I'm going to drop you in your tracks. What do you think he would have done, Dan?
He would have probably
let the girl go.
Let her go and ran out of the store.
That's right. And right into the deputy's arms.
Absolutely.
Real quick, we got Paul on the line. Paul, thank you for calling tonight.
Oh, you're quite welcome. How you doing, Chris?
Excellent. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good myself. Waiting for it. Looks like a little bit of rain might come, but we'll just see.
Yeah.
All this gun control thing, it's formed an opinion in my mind. As long as when somebody starts shooting people, the people you want to respond are people with guns.
Yep.
In my estimation, that's the biggest hurdle these gun control people are going to have to overcome. If they were to call people who delivered flowers or something like that, I could, okay, then we'll do gun control.
Yeah.
When you call the cops with guns, you're more or less admitting... You got to have guns that counteract guns.
Well, in their bizarre world, they don't see it that way. As Katie Couric said, you don't stop bad guys with good guys with guns. But their response, I think, to anticipate the argument would be something like this, Paul. No, what we want is we want only the police to have the guns. We don't mind police having guns if the problem is not the police, it's everyone else. And then, of course, the Black Lives Matter people might have a problem with that. It's just so screwy. Basically, what they want to do is they want people to be a bunch of sheep and potential victims and helpless, which, of course, makes them more important in this world. And that's wrong. That's the basis of evil, if you ask me.
On a lighter note, Chris, I talked to my dog earlier after Aubrey came on and was acting like he knew what he was talking about, getting the degrees in for a dog. And
what'd the dog say?
This is what she told me, more or less. It's not an AA. It's not a BA. It's not a BS or even a PhD. It's a BO degree. And just so Aubrey knows, it is good for one thing at least.
What?
When you go to a dog park, some of them charge. It gets you in free.
I'm sure he's listening and will appreciate that, Paul. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you being there on Sunday night. All right. Once again, we're here live until 8 o'clock. Kathy.
That's a hard act to follow.
A B.O. degree. I like that.
I thought that stood for Barack Obama.
Yeah, well, that's what he's talking about.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, not body odor.
Well, that too.
All right. They're synonymous, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
I get it.
It all goes together, you know.
Anyway, this is a weird one. Out of Maui, a twin kills her twin in a bizarre accident. A woman behind the wheel of a car that plummeted 200 feet off a Maui cliff, killing her twin sister in the passenger seat, was charged with second-degree murder, the Associated Press reported. Alexandria Duval, also known as Allison Daydow, intentionally set out to take the life of her sibling, Anastasia, also known as Ann Daydow. Prosecutors assert after witnesses allegedly saw the 37-year-old women arguing, witnesses say they saw the Ford Explorer turn and accelerate off the cliff. Anastasia Duval died at the scene while Alexandria Duval was rushed to the hospital, able to walk but with her arm in a sling. Alexandria appeared in court to face charges. Now, court documents reveal witness accounts saying the passenger was pulling at the driver's hair and the steering wheel. The station noted the investigators alleged that the vehicle showed no signs of braking during the May 29th incident on the Hanna Highway. The twins once owned a yoga franchise under their Daydow name in Palm Beach, Florida, and they were known for their once glamorous lifestyle. The two later opened a yoga studio in Park City, Utah, and were dogged by financial problems and run-ins with police.
Yeah.
Alexandria Duval was arrested, but apparently she was released and not charged and did attend her sister's funeral. Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, it's a sad situation. It sounds like the girls were in a fight in the vehicle, and they were just not paying attention to the road because they were too busy fighting with one another. And people think that we need a woman for president.
Now, this was obviously a sibling rivalry.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right. There's two women fighting.
Right.
They're sisters, and they were fighting.
Right.
So they were so preoccupied with fighting one another, they weren't paying attention to what they were doing. The one yanked the steering wheel. It drove the car off the cliff. The damn near killed them both, killed one.
Right.
And people tell us that we need a woman as president because she would be somehow more peaceful or somehow more wise than a man when it comes to dealing with violence and stuff like that.
Women have a problem a lot of times with having close friendships without deception and betrayal and that kind of thing.
All I'm saying is, if you want to elect a woman president, fine. But don't try to tell me that because a person is a woman, that she is somehow more capable than a man in dealing with stress and violence and that sort of thing. And by the way, that's how women got the right to vote. Now, I'll give them this right to vote. But the idea that women are somehow more pure than men, morally and ethically speaking, and don't get caught up so much in violence, I think that one little story right there should dispel that notion altogether.
I beg to differ with you. How many men have killed their wives' lover?
No, you don't understand what I'm saying. The argument is women aren't susceptible to the same follies as men. And all I'm saying is that we're all susceptible to the same
follies.
Yeah,
women aren't exempt at all.
No, but the argument is that they are. The argument is one reason why we need Hillary Clinton for president is because she's a woman, and as a woman, she is somehow better able to deal with human relations.
Who wrote that rule?
That was the argument for the suffragettes made back in 100 years ago.
Well, I don't think that's a good argument.
Well, what they did was they kind of took the argument that men had given not to allow them into politics and said this is the very reason why we need to be in politics. Because remember the old sugar and spice and everything nice thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Victorian age was the age of the idolized woman, where you put her on the pedestal, mm-hmm. the hourglass figure, all of this, you see? And you kept her away from the evils of life. Well, the suffragette argument was, no, you want the woman to relieve, to do away with the evils of life because she is not susceptible to them like men are. And that's part of the argument for to elect Hillary Clinton. She's more capable as a woman than a man would be.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
All right, we're back. What else you got for us, Sarah?
This is a weird story. A freezer purchase yields a cadaver.
Oh.
What would you do if you purchased a freezer from your neighbor only to discover it was actually a tomb for a dead body? According to police, a woman who declined to be identified by reporters had purchased a deep freezer from her neighbor, but was instructed not to open it just yet. The seller said the freezer was being used as a time capsule for a class project with her Sunday school at church.
Uh-huh.
Someone from the church was supposed to come and pick up the contents of the freezer. However, after 3 weeks, no one had come by, and she decided to look inside. That's when she found the body parts. I have a serious problem. My neighbor sold me a deep freezer. I just opened it, and there's a body in there, I think, she told 911, and I am freaking out. Testing later confirmed that the remains were actually human. Earlier this week, police were able to positively identify the body. However, as of this writing, they have not released the name of the victim. All I want to know, Chris, is what church has a Sunday school class that stores a human body in a freezer?
Well,
maybe a satanic worship?
No, get me started.
I don't know.
It's obviously a bizarre case. Somebody got murdered, and why they would sell the freezer, I don't know.
But at a church, it's so bizarre.
It is. But, you know, this week was the week for, you're talking about bizarre stuff. Did you see that, I don't let you continue, but did you see the story about the Amish guy? 51,
mm-mm.
Had 12 girls, 18 years old and younger, in his house. And
no.
The 18-year-old girl had been given to him by another Amish guy because the first one had helped him settle a debt or something. Oh,
it has been not a week, not 2 weeks, but
a month of bizarre stories.
Here's a really unusual story.
Real quick. Yesterday, Kathy and I went to the Antiques Roadshow, right, here in town. And we were behind a guy who did he buys those storage units. You remember him talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy asked him, what was the most bizarre thing he ever found? Tell him what he said. He said he found body parts in one. Remember?
Well, yeah.
They were bones.
Bones.
Yeah.
Human bones.
So
not body parts per se, but bones.
Well, those are body parts.
Well, yeah, but when I think of body parts, I think of fresh body parts.
Right. Like in the freezer.
Right.
But he said, so they called the police and everything, and he said when the police came out, he was kind of joking around. He said, maybe he found Jimmy Hoffa. The cop
quite an unusual experience yesterday.
It turned out that the bones were there because the person that had owned the storage unit actually was in the business of providing bones to like schools or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
For medical study.
Yeah. All right. So anyway. It wasn't Jimmy Hoffa.
A doctor successfully remove a grenade from a soldier's face.
Mm.
A handout image made available on June 10th and released by the Columbia Military Hospital shows the X-ray of the skull of a Colombian soldier Leandro Jose Luna with a grenade in his face after suffering an accident while on duty. The grenade was removed successfully by medical staff in the car park of the hospital because of the fear that the grenade could explode in the operating room. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be a terrifying experience?
Yeah.
New York, only in New York.
Real quick, there was an episode of MASH where they did that.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't remember that.
Soldier had got, and it does happen.
Sure.
It happened in Vietnam and probably in the Gulf Wars, too.
Sure. New York may allow pet owners to be buried with their furry friends. Only in New York. New York State may soon allow...
The furry friend may not like that, though.
Well, they may
depends on who goes first, right?
Allow pet owners to spend an eternity with their furry companions. The state legislature has passed a bill allowing cemeteries, except for religious ones, to offer people the option of being buried with the cremated remains of a dog, cat, or other tame domesticated animal. Cemeteries wouldn't be required to allow pet remains. Supporters say they expect many pet owners will embrace the idea. They say cemeteries should be free to offer the option. The proposal is the latest in a series of measures honoring the bond between human and beast. Last year, New York lawmakers passed a law allowing dogs on restaurant patios. They also are considering a ban on cat declawing. Governor Andrew Cuomo hasn't weighed in on the cemetery bill. What's next for New York State, huh?
I don't know, but I know in Colorado they're going to have a cat bar.
A cat bar.
A cat bar. That's right. A lady out there already has a cat cafe.
Okay.
And she's decided to open a cat bar. And the best I can determine from the stories that I've read is that the cat cafe is like her version of a Starbucks where you can bring your cat.
Okay.
So I presume the cat bar is a place where you go drink alcoholic beverages where you can bring your cat.
Okay. Well,
I don't know why
there's a
you
lot
would want
of,
to do that.
There's a lot of cat lovers out there who want to go chill. They may not necessarily want to own a cat, but they want to have a beer and sit with a cat.
Okay. All right.
I get it.
All right.
Now, another strange one from New York State. New York City is moving forward with efforts to control the overpopulation of deer on Staten Island with vasectomies. That's right. The Staten Island Advance reports Comptroller Scott Stringer is allowing the city to fast-track the contracting process on a $2 million study. The State Department of Environmental Conservation must also approve the plan. The department has said deer fertility control programs have limited effectiveness. It only permits such programs if they're part of a scientific study. Deer can harm property, spread tick-borne illness, mm-hmm. and cause traffic accidents. A 2014 aerial survey found 763 deer in Staten Island's green spaces. Some ecologists believe there might be more than 1,000.
Yeah.
The study would start next September. Hundreds of bucks would be tranquilized. That's bucks, not mm-hmm. dollars.
Right.
Given vasectomies and released back into parkland over a three-year period. Can you imagine a deer vasectomy? There are your tax dollars at work.
You want to talk about animal cruelty.
Yeah.
You'd be better off just hunting the doggone things. I mean, this is just stupidity.
It is. It's crazy.
Another waste of government money. There's no question about that.
The state of New York, you know how they are.
Yeah, yeah. We're just about out of time here for tonight. And we're going to end up the show with, once again, Lloyd Marcus, his tune, We Are Americans. And, you know, it's this whole situation this week with the terrorist act and everything. Obviously, the people who were killed have, you know, there have been vigils and things like that. But it's a terrible event. And a lot of people have sort of... I don't know, the fact that this was a gay bar have sort of let that affect them. But the fact of the matter is a lot of the people who were in that bar that night were not gay.
That's correct.
You know, there was the fireman.
Yeah, there was a fireman and his fiancée.
He was actually accepted into the fire academy.
Right.
He was going to go in, going to start training to be a fireman.
He and his fiancée, I think they were 20, 22,
mm-hmm.
were in the club to learn salsa.
To learn how to dance.
And they were gunned down. And there was also a mother of four,
mm-hmm.
and she was gunned down, but she survived, luckily for her, because, you know, she had four children, and she said the first thing she thought about is who's going to take care of my kids.
Yep.
Thank God her life was spared, but there are so many stories like that, Chris.
Yeah.
And it's time now to move forward, but it's also time to do what we need to do so this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and what we need to do is take care of business against the perpetrators of this hatred and this evil, not take people's guns away from them. There was a fine young man here from Winter Springs, Luis Sergio Velma, honor student, fine man, making his way in this world, just 20-something years old, and he grew up right here in Winter Springs. And it's just, you know, these are fine American lives that were stolen from us, and it is all because of a hateful ideology that this administration is afraid to have us fully understand. And that's why we're going to get a redacted, a partial transcript of the conversations that this hateful perpetrator of terrorism had with OPD. If you're going to do that, just don't even bother putting out the transcript, because all you're going to do is give us a distorted view of reality.
Like the liberals always do.
And that's exactly. And that's about the last thing that we do need at this point. We need reality. We need truth, not a bunch of BS from a bunch of yappers. All right, with that, we're going to leave you with We Are Americans. LloydMarcus.com is where you can get his great CD, God, Country, and Love. Night, everybody.
Good night.
We are Americans, good people, blessed by God. A unique experiment which has survived against all odds. With courage and compassion and a yearning to be free, grateful Americans, you and me. Stay strong, Americans, in your quest to restore liberty. It's up to you and me to bring us back where we should be. To the words of our fathers, penned in truth and dignity. Faithful Americans, that's you and me. Though we fought a good fight, there is more to be done. We must all pledge our all till the battle. Under God, and it's time.
the things we know are wrong. Then he will hear, he'll hear from heaven, and he
to stay.